Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
And welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul, the holiday version. Today we're talking with Mr. 2020 about how to survive, not just survive, but how to thrive this holiday season. And Mr. 2020 is a Neville Goddard expert. He's the founder of freeneville.com, and he does a lot of different things. He was is a survivor of a huge prison riot that gave him PTSD, and he was able to heal himself of those negative thoughts and flashbacks and all of that. And now he's not only surviving but thriving and helping other people do the same. Welcome to the show, 20.
Hey, Marie, how are you today?
I'm fantastic, thank you. Still recovering from a cold, so if I cough, you'll know why. But other than that, everything's great.
Excellent, excellent. I want to put Neville Goddard into context real quick, since you mentioned him. A lot of people don't know who he is, but they know who Wayne Dyer is. And everybody loves Wayne Dyer. And so Wayne Dyer said that when it came to manifesting and positivity, that Neville was his mentor. And that's basically how Neville sort of fits into the picture for a lot of people. So they check out Wayne, they find out about Neville, and then eventually they find us, so on and so forth. And context is really important, not just for Neville, but for the holidays. Because the number one survival strategy I'll mention right off the bat before we dive in is the holidays are just a subset of life. So anything that we learn to have better holidays can help us have a better life. So excited and curious to see where you and I explore today.
I thought you were going to say the number one way to survive the holidays is alcohol.
So since the holidays are a subset of life, alcohol could be, odds are if it's the holiday survival strategy, it's probably the daily survival strategy as well. So yeah, good, bad, indifferent, that's what it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, I forgot to say that right now we are broadcasting on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Marie Bernard or /spiritual show, whichever you want to do. And you may also be listening to this on the radio. If so, you might be listening on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus, or online at CITR.ca. CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or the Co-Creator Network. But wherever you're joining us from, 20's going, wow, it's all over the place. I'm submitting the show
I am just blown away, Marie. You just keep growing and glowing. So congratulations on all that exponential growth that you're doing. So way cool.
Thank you. Well, your work has been a part of it. And I mean, you know, I do lots of reading and interviewing different people, and actually that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. Is one of the frustrations that I've had in my life is implementing a lot of the things that we learn, because your content, your Neville, freeneville.com, is full of great content, and yet for me I feel like there's only so much that I can implement at one time, and I kind of have to get that layer solid before I move on to the next level. How has that been for you and your clients?
Cool. One of the things that I always suggest is don't walk away from the phone. And what I mean by that is if you called me up and we were talking about something, I wouldn't walk away from the phone without having done something to make a difference. So immediately, I just real early on in my life, and I'd like to say career, but just, you know, life here on planet Earth, I developed a tiny little strategy of, right, how can I implement this now? So I don't even think about how to do it tomorrow or in the next hour, but it's like, what can I do right now? I just learned something. You and I just talked about something. So what can I do with that? Just a tiny little bit. And it's almost like that habit of always taking that tiny little bit really does make it adds up. It's like saving a dollar a day. If you would have started saving a dollar a day whenever you were 6 years old, you'd have a pretty chunk, you know, of cash, and it wouldn't have been too hard. So it's just that little tiny bit, you know, just immediately. As soon as you learn something,
Synchronicity,
you know,
talk,
ask yourself, how can I apply this now and toss it into something in your life real quick? So it'll just start processing differently.
Awesome.
If you learn 20 different things in a day, because that, in my experience, like I've done these meetup groups where we get together and we listen to programs. And what I've noticed is so many people in the book studies and all the groups that I've done, most of them are, okay, I read that, now what's next?
Yep. So scientific studies show that people are stupid. Or something like that, right? I've read time and time again that people can't process more than three chunks. So once you have three chunks, you're done. And if you think about it, in the U.S. as well as Australia, and I imagine in Canada it might be similar, phone numbers tend to be broken into three sections: area code, local prefix, and then your individual things. So like I had a phone number 412-379 dot 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 years and years ago, but 412 was the Pittsburgh area code, 379 took you to the local exchange, and then there was the last four. So but they tend to break things up in threes because that's really all the brain box can handle for most people. So if I go to a seminar, and I'm the guy, by the way, I leave a lot of seminars early because I'll get three really good things, go, yep, gotta go. And I might show back up halfway through the afternoon session or something, because you know, I'll find three things that I can run with and I'll just go run with them. So if you're in a situation where you're learning 20 things, take notes on 20 things, but before you leave the room, and this could be your first action step, identify the three biggies, boom, boom, boom. These are the three. And which one can I implement before I get to the car? And just that tiny little bit really makes a big difference.
I really like that. Thank you, 20. Mm-hmm. That's super helpful. And so for the three things, would that be, because yeah, you could go to a weekend seminar and learn. I mean, you take 30 pages of notes sometimes in these seminars. It's insane. Yep. And then half of it's gone. I find I like to listen, whether it's your program, is it 90 days of manifesting mastery?
Manifesting mastery. Yep, 90 days.
And that one, I mean, you could go through the 90 days, and a lot of your clients do. They'll go through the 90 days, and then they might take a couple days break, and then they start it all over again.
Yep, absolutely. We've got, I bet you 30% of the people do the program at least two or three times. And we don't mind. We just, they say, hey, you know, they let us know. We reset their emails to day one and bang, they get a new lesson every day. So they end up doing it for like 270 days, essentially, which is, again, really cool. I think it's important to honor that with us. You know, I went to a internet marketing seminar. I love the internet and I love marketing because that's two ways I think that we can all make a difference in the world by building a tribe and helping it grow. You know, and so I go to this internet marketing conference up in Sydney, Australia this year or last year, no, this year. Anyway, 6 months ago. And I found myself whenever I would burn out, I'd leave the room. I'd get up, you know, go get a coffee, just talk with somebody one on one for a little bit, just see who I could meet. And I also paid for the recordings of the seminar. That way I could have the full thing to watch time and time again at home. And again, I just think it's important because we live in a culture that, either people don't want to learn anything. They graduate from college or high school or grade school if you're in West Virginia, and you never learn anything. You never go to school or seminar ever again. Or we just, we become, I get that you're an info, I was going to say infomaniac. You're an info junkie like me. We can study and learn heaps of stuff. But we really got to just slow down and go, okay, what are my three bits? You know, what are the three things? Which one can I apply now? And just get in that habit of being implementers because, God, we can just absorb so much info. And then it's just info versus converting it into wisdom through experience. And that's where we can really benefit the next generation, too.
Cool. So I do want to talk about the holidays today. And I feel like I've taken us a little bit off track, but it's so useful. So these three bits of information that we process, for how long? So would that be to learn three things a day, or you'd learn three things at the seminar, go have lunch, and then come back and learn three more? What do you advise?
When I write an article, I tend to put three bits in it. Yeah, you know, here's this, here's that, there's this, and just sort of tie it together. And the third one's almost always a little bit of a twist. And I do that intentionally because I lost the question. I'm sorry. What was the question?
So the three bits of information that we're going to actually absorb and implement.
Yep.
How long before we absorb three new bits of information?
I don't know. Yeah, okay. Great question. I suspect I love discovering the answer. What I just noticed about me was after I implement, I can absorb three more. So last night I found a new little software platform I'm going to have some fun with. And so I geeked around on it for a little bit. And once I got one thing done, Victoria and I basically sat here and watched it. And it's something that changes one of our websites. And so we just watched how it impacts things. And then about an hour later, it's like, ooh, let me try something, the next step, whatever that was. And so I went in there and geeked on the next step and, ooh, that's sweet. But it's almost like I can feel once there's a reset. So I learn something, implement something. And for me, within an hour, usually maybe 20, 30 minutes, yeah, okay, let's try something else. Wait, is there something else on this list? Can I learn something different? And just keep going. How many victories can you have a day? That's sort of what I notice. You know, it's like, okay, we've got this Google Tag Manager thing set up, whatever that is, and we got this set up, whatever that is. And hey, let's try this little. Ooh, that was pretty cool. You know, three victories a day is pretty good. You know, I could have 8 or 10, but just even a couple. Just okay, I learned this, I did something with it. Time to do the happy dance. I learned this, I did something with it. Time to do the happy dance. And yeah, just have a couple of those a day and just watch what happens.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, some people go through, many people, I think, go through their whole day without any successes, or they discount their successes.
Yeah, and that's worse than not even having them, because if you don't celebrate your successes, you got to celebrate the wins. You have to. It's, you know, we should pass a new law. I mean, everybody's concerned about, you know, gun control and taxes and immigration and, you know, just all this crazy stuff. We should pass a law that requires that we celebrate the wins. Yeah, that would change everything. Because if you're gonna commit to celebrating the wins, that requires that you notice the wins. And most people don't notice their wins.
So it's so important. And I think that's one of the things, like, back to talking about the holidays, you were saying how it's just one part of our lives. And it's really a facet of the bigger thing. Like, people get so caught up in, oh, it has to be perfect. Christmas has to be perfect. Or New Year's Eve has to feel magical. And for me, it's always been an incredibly huge letdown. It's like super stressful. And then I'm depressed. And so last year I decided, you know what, screw it. I'm not even going to worry. I'm just going to do my best to treat it like any other day of the year. And I brought a bunch of people to the movies on Christmas Eve, because I knew in Vancouver, like, there's lots of people from places all over the world. I'm like, I can't be the only one without family at Christmas, because that's what the depressing thing for me. But then when I go spend Christmas with other people's families, I feel thankful I don't have any family, because they're crazy. Yes. So there are pros and cons. So yeah, I'm just kind of like trying to just sort of enjoy it for what it is. I like the decorations, but I'm not going to get caught up in trying to make it something special. I mean, every moment is special.
Yes. When I was a cop, we talked about a stressful incident reveals your most recent level of effective training. And so I thought, that's pretty cool. How does that apply to life? Remember, being a cop is a subset of life, like the holidays is a subset of the rest of the year. And I noticed stressful situations reveal what the level of personal awareness or development or that I'm at. So if Christmas comes up and there's the whatever the angst is, we've all got our own special version of it. That, you know, instead of trying to avoid it, we get to just notice, you know, where else does this show up in my life? Where else does the perfection thing show up in my life? And the followed by the letdown thing. Because if we can unravel it in one area of life, it'll start to unravel in other areas of life. So you'll get to get up in the morning and go, well, you know, it's not perfect, but who cares? Yeah, I'll just keep rolling. It's a good day. So you know, any opportunity we have for personal awareness and evolution like that can really, it'll just generalize everywhere in your life. So good on you for noticing that, because odds are that perfection depression thing shows up elsewhere. And so if you can notice it at Christmas, cool. If you can notice it, you know, anytime, yeah, the way you put the sheets on the bed, whatever it is, if it's like, you know what, the sheets aren't perfect, but that's still good. It's good enough for the bed. And just that little bit of evolution, it'll impact everything, which is really cool.
We had that situation actually hanging this. If you're listening on the radio, there's a Christmas tree background. I got at IKEA, super fun. It's just a sheet of fabric. It's a Christmas tree. And so my boyfriend was helping me hang it, and it just all got, like, it wasn't perfect. And we're both a little bit perfectionistic. And I'm kind of like, well, I don't have time to get worried about it being perfect. I just want to, but he was wanting to make it perfect for me, which was stressing me out. So it's just like, it doesn't have to be perfect. As long as it's working and functioning, we're good to go.
Nice.
And I've had to let that go. But I noticed too, another thing is that when it comes to stressful situations, if there's a life or death crisis, I tend to be the most calm person in the room and handling it. But I'm stressed out about little stuff that doesn't matter all the time. And I make a huge crisis out of like something silly, like hanging a piece of fabric.
Isn't it cool the things that we do to prove we exist? We set the stage for these things where I'm going to have a meltdown about nothing just to prove that I'm here on planet Earth. And we don't need that proof. In a real life or death situation, you know you exist. But in these little mock things that we go to war with all the time, we got to prove we exist. It's the most fascinating thing, because we really get to notice, I don't need proof that I exist. I am. I'm here. So I don't need the drama. We all have these patterns. And so if we notice, you know, here's a really good question you could ask yourself every day. What am I doing today to prove that I exist? And just have fun noticing it. Don't judge it. That would be crazy. But just noticing, what am I doing today to prove I exist? Oh, here's the stress. Yay, I'm stressed. You know, here's the depression. Oh, yay, I'm depressed. But we all have these things to prove we exist. And once we are aware that that's probably the only reason we do this, they really will diminish rapidly. And, you know, then you just get to exist, which is good fun. Imagine if you had to prove that you're a woman every day. Wouldn't that get stressful?
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, I'm a woman. Look, it's on my driver's license. Here, I'll flash you, whatever it is. Whatever proof you'd have to offer, it'd be insane. Yes, I am a woman. If you had to prove it every day, 10 times a day, that would drive you nuts. That's what stress is about. But if you drop the fact that you know what, you don't got to prove you're a woman. You don't have to prove you exist. You don't got to prove anything. You just get to experience and be it. Whoa. Yeah, now the fun begins.
I just made note of that. So the question is, what am I doing today to prove that I exist? And yeah, it's always, and I know it's funny because if you hear, I think this is, I'm all over the place. The things that we do ourselves tend to be the things that bother us the most in other people. So when I hear someone who's whiny, complaining, pessimistic, I'm always like, suck it up and get over it. This is a waste of time. But then I have to recognize, how often am I that person making everyone else listen to me be pessimistic and grumpy and negative?
I discovered years ago that one of my patterns has been to avoid conflict. And so I'll do whatever it takes to avoid conflict, right? What I get to notice is if there's ever any internal dialogue in my head, it's all about conflict. So I try to avoid this thing on the outside that was plaguing me forever on the inside. And that was also how I was proving that I existed. So to prove that I exist, I'm the peacemaker. Whoa, I'll walk away from that. I'm better than that, right? Yeah, but on the inside, oh, I could have told him this, or I should have said this, or you know what, next time I'm going to say this. Yeah, all that crazy, or it'll just be the direct conflict going on in the box, right? So we all have some version of this. So there's something on the outside that we tend to avoid. For me, it was conflict. And on the inside, it was nonstop.
That's so funny, because I'm the opposite. I'll confront, and I'm like, I don't like conflict. Inside, I'm like, I don't like it. It stresses me out. And yet I'm always the one to be like, this is not right. I have to stand up for humanity and say something.
Isn't that cool? We get to notice these puzzle. It's a false yin and yang. it's not where the real gold is. It gives us a lot of mock energy. It gives us a lot of mock tension, but it's not the real deal. The real deal comes from not eliminating both, but becoming aware of both. Because to this day, there's a part of me that wants to avoid conflict. And if something shows up in the box, it'll be about conflict. But now I get to be humored about it. And if I'm humored about it, instantly it drops.
Shindig, CITR's annual band competition, is in its 30th year of promoting new, local bands and providing great prizes. Shindig happens every Tuesday at Pat's Pub and Brewhouse at 403 East Hastings. So come check out the talent while they compete to win studio time, features in Discorder magazine, buttons, merch, and more. Enjoy locally made beer, pool, and CITR's DJ spinning after the bands.
Shindig Night 9 is happening this Tuesday, December 15th, featuring the Psychic Alliance, Making Strangers, and Bright Red Kite. Cover is $6 at the door, and the show is 19+. Check out CITR on Facebook or on Twitter at CITR Shindig for all the details.
Hey, why so sad?
Oh, nothing really.
Not very convincing, Jane girl. Whatever it is, I've got just the cure for it.
One, two, three, four.
Did you know CITR has a women's collective? This brand new collective is all about providing and fostering a community for women who are or who want to be in radio, fighting the gender disparity in media, and centering women's voices and issues. If you are a female-identified person or ally who's already involved in radio or wants somewhere to start, this collective is for you. Email womenscollective@citr.ca for more information and to get involved.
And tune in Friday at 6 p.m. for the collective show, Lady Radio, featuring music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about.
See you then.
Well, how do you like it? There's only one word for it. Terrific.
Attention grad students, share your research, find out what's going on in other disciplines, approach your work from a new angle. Check out Fire Talks, the interdisciplinary discussion forum sponsored by the Research Commons at Kerner Library. Visit bit.ly/firetalk for more information.
Are you aware? Radio, alternate Thursday 6 to 7 p.m. at CITR 101.9 FM. Profiling music and musicians take the route of positive action over apathy.
Back to the holidays, I wanted to see if maybe we could talk about some specific triggers or stressful situations that come up, and maybe just a couple of ideas on either how to stay calm or what to notice about ourselves when they come up. So the biggest thing I thought of was dealing with driving in holiday traffic and parking at the mall.
All right. I let Victoria do that. You know, it really is What a hoot, isn't it? I mean, this really is, this is the time of year where we celebrate peace, right? And what we settle for is calm down. Peace is all encompassing. Calming down. Yeah, I mean, you know, Marie, calm down, right? Yeah, how's that working for us, right? Not at all. Versus, you know what, I'm just going to choose peace. Calming down always has the focus on, it's been 7 years since I've had a drink. See if you're an alcoholic, yeah, I need a beer. If you're an alcoholic in recovery, it's been 7 years since I've had a beer. Either way, the story ends with beer. Calm is the same way. Yeah, so we're either stressed about the holidays or I'm calming down. I'm calm about the holidays. Either way, you get the stresses built into there versus, you know what? I'm just going to be at peace with this. You know why? Because crazy Aunt Betty, that's how she is. Yeah, I'm going to get there. She's going to kiss me. She's going to smell like tons of perfume. Yeah. I'm not going to complain about it because that's how crazy Aunt Betty is. Next. And you just decide, you know what? I'm going to be at peace about this. This is what I get to expect out of Cousin Fred. And this is what I get to expect when I go to the mall. It's going to be nuts. So, you know what? I'm just going to be at peace with sitting in traffic. I'll put something good on the radio and, yeah, happy holidays. Move it, you know? and that's it. You know, just don't be calm. Just choose peace. Totally different words. Totally different experience.
I dig it. I'm just like, okay, well, we'll see how that goes.
The cool thing is, calm always has the focus on the situation. I'm calm under pressure is really the strategy that most people have. Versus peace, you know what? I'm at peace with whatever happens. I'm at peace. Whatever happens is a completely separate thing. I'm at peace. Mm-hmm. So we really get to explore that. And by the way, it is an exploration. Yeah, the words are different because it's different experiences, but it's like the difference between Chinese and Thai food. My mom wouldn't know. As far as I know, my mom's never had Thai food. So if she had Thai food, she'd say it was probably Chinese. I know the difference between Chinese and Thai and Japanese and stuff. You know, we've got all those different foods here in Melbourne. So I've got a distinction between all those. We get to play with things where we don't have distinctions. So if we're used to calm, that's one thing. Okay, there's something I can be calm about. Versus, you know, I can just choose peace. No matter what, choosing peace makes it about you. Calm about the situation is a different thing. So there's some distinctions you can play with there.
Thank you, 20. So just to rephrase it, what you've already said is peace is within you and calm is problem focused.
Yeah, you betcha. Calm down, Marie.
I hear that a lot. Actually,
there you go. So that's a dance that you've danced many times, right? Yeah. Calm down, Marie, is a dance you've done many times. You get to explore another dance, just being at peace. How cool is that?
Okay, so I want to ask you before we jump into the next thing. How often do you find yourself at peace? You seem like a pretty peaceful person.
I probably have a couple hundred upsets a day. They tend to move pretty fast through me. If they linger, they're usually there to let me notice something that I've been missing. But notice how I'm answering the question. Yeah, as far as I can tell, peace is our baseline. So I don't want to aspire to peace or do something to make me feel peaceful. That would make peace an activity. The activity in my life is the upset. If a sales guy came to the door now and the dog would bark, there would be an upset that would last about that fast. But I'd let it wash through pretty quick. I'd feel it. Here's a good one. So if peace is our baseline, just imagine like I've got a cup of coffee here. It's right now it's just sitting there and there's no movement. We'll just call that peace. If I pick it up, it's going to do a little bit of that. And there'll be some ripples in the top of the cup of coffee, right? That's a disturbance. The coffee naturally returns to baseline peace every single time. That's what you and I are. We at baseline, we're just quiet. We're still. And taking the time to notice that, yeah, a cool little exercise you can do is you're waking up in the morning. There's a brief window where you exist and there's no disturbance. And then at some point, we start letting disturbances show up. And we get to let the disturbances pass through us. And eventually, the events of life happen and they're not disturbances, because we get to notice what we are is that stillness. What we are is literally consciousness, the whiteboard. Anything on the whiteboard is life happening. But what we are is stillness. And so we don't have to seek the stillness. We just have to notice. Right now, for you to hear me, you have to be silent. For you to see me, you have to be silent. Silence is what notices. And anytime you notice that, what you truly are is silent. Right now, look at you. Ooh, you're just, there's peace. You're not calming down, waiting for an opportunity to talk. You're just sitting there at peace. That's the essence of Marie. So anytime you can notice that essence, it'll grow in your life, which is way cool.
Wow. Thank you, 20. I really love the way you phrased that. And that's the thing, like, I just did an interview about peace and where to find it with Christopher Papadopoulos a couple of weeks ago, and basically the same topic, but just phrased differently. And every time you hear it, whether it's just a repetition of the same words or phrased a little bit differently, like, there tends to be a deeper or a different understanding.
Sure.
At least for me.
So in your life, you've been told, calm down, Marie, more than once, right? So check this out. Every time you were told that, that reinforced that was reality. On the other hand, what we're inviting you to today is to notice what you are is calm. What you are is silent. Again, silence is the only thing that can hear me. Silence is the only thing that can see me as you're looking at me. So that's cool. And when you get that you are the silence, you might have to hear that 10,000 times before it fully clicks. Doesn't matter. You may say it to yourself 10,000 times. You may play the recording of the show 10,000 times. It doesn't matter. But at some point, everything tilts. So instead of Calm Down Marie being one of your primary programs, what becomes one of your primaries is just noticing, I am silent. I'm the silence. I'm what gives birth to all this coolness. So, and at that point, everything shifted. And then we tell other people.
Well, that, pardon?
Yeah,
because tell other people.
Yep, because we can't help it. It's good news.
Cool. Well, that's part of what I notice with the real crisis versus the proving I exist crisis.
Yep.
The real crisis, I am calm. I'm like, okay, I'm looking at everyone else being chaotic and freaking out.
Yep.
And I'm just, and it's as if time slows down.
Yep.
And then you're just handling what happens as it comes.
Yes. That's all we can do anyway. We can only live in the present moment. And what we do is we trade it. The present moment is so fluid. It's just amazingly fluid. And we trade it for static memories and fantasies. And when we get that, anything that's a memory or a fantasy is relatively slow and gooey. It's the difference between like maple syrup or fake maple syrup that really sucks. You guys have good maple syrup in Canada. If you feel the difference between maple syrup and drinking water, reality is more like drinking water. But we get caught up in this slow goop. And it's those slow goops where the tension is. My fantasy is I'll get to the shopping center and cash out in 3 minutes. Go right through. So I've got this fantasy. Oh, yay. I'll be home in 3 minutes. Or I can start going home in 3 minutes. But if it takes 3 minutes and 15 seconds, my fantasy is shattered. Don't you shatter my fantasy. Get it? That's where we live. And that's all the stuff we get to just keep going. Look at that. 20 wants to get upset because he's going to be 15 seconds late in the grand scheme of everything. You know, crazy stuff. But again, if we're self-loving first and then have that self-awareness to go, look at that, there's my pattern. I'm getting upset with an old lady with pennies. That's crazy. We can let it go much easier. And then just the ripple passes through.
Thank you. Well, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking right now with Mr. 2020, and you can find him at freeneville.com. He is an expert in Neville Goddard, NLP. He coaches people on how to be more aware of themselves, how to let go of all this stuff. He has a manifesting programs and a whole bunch of stuff, tons of free articles, all at freeneville.com. And speaking of manifesting, I think Christmas time tends to be, at least, you know, when we're kids, we have manifesting is a big focus for Christmas, because you want the presents that you fantasize about to manifest under the Christmas tree. So I don't know where we're going to take that, but I kind of want to talk about manifesting this time of year.
So I sure in Manifesting Mastery, we share a story about a young fella. I was at the coffee shop one day, and there's this young fella, probably 16, 17 years old or so, and you can tell he's talking with his buddies, and he looks over and there's a couple cute girls, and he starts walking over to the girls, right? And he gets about halfway from his circle of safety, the couple guys he was with, he gets about halfway between there to where the two girls are sitting, and the girls look at each other and share a giggle. And the guy turns around with his tail between his legs and walks back to his friends. And me, being a guy in my 40s, I'm going, oh my God, dude, they were giggling because one of you guys actually had the courage to walk over. They were happy. They were doing that, oh my God, he's cute thing. He imagined that they were laughing at him, and he turned around and went back. Our holidays, our daily lives are full of that. I call that instant manifesting. The guy manifested a loss. Because he imagined the wrong thing. Even if they would have been giggling at him, if he imagined, hey, they like me and walked up, they actually might change their mind and like him. That's how fast this stuff works. It's not just about I'm going to manifest a new car or a mate or something like that. Manifesting the next moment, whatever you're experiencing, feeling in this moment is going to advance into the next. And if the guy actually got the girls are giggling and that's a good thing, he would have kept going. And even if it wasn't a good thing, if he imagined it was a good thing, he probably would have turned the tables around a little bit and they all would have had a better afternoon. So we really get to notice how many times are we that guy, especially during the Christmas holidays. You're going to get the car park and somebody pulls in before you and you just go off. Ah, well, maybe that guy saved your car from getting scratched by, you don't know. But whatever happens, you get to either imagine something negative and go off about it, or imagine something empowering. And notice I'm not using the word positive. You can imagine something empowering and keep going. And that's what it's all about, even at that little micro level. Imagine what your Christmas dinner would be like if you imagined, that's how Crazy Aunt Betty is. I'll let her be like that. That's cool. But I'm also going to imagine better for her. I'm going to imagine her having a good Christmas dinner for once, because she's always complaining. The turkey was too dry. The ham was too something, whatever. Imagine her actually going, yeah, that was pretty good. Maybe she'll, experience it as good. Maybe she won't, but at least you'll be smiling and that'll ripple through the whole family.
I love that. That's so sweet. I'd be the one saying, Aunt Betty, if you weren't such a whiner, maybe things would go better for that's what I'd be saying to her.
And it's true. And gosh, they're so convinced, aren't they? Yeah, life does suck and I'm just telling you about it. No. life can't nearly suck. I was talking with a friend of mine one day and he was telling me about his mother. And I said, oh, your mom's a collector. He's like, what? What do you mean? I said, well, she collects men to be upset about. She collects grievances. She collects problems. She just collects things like that. And she's got the opportunity to not be a collector anymore. She could actually experience a man as a positive thing. She could actually experience a dinner as something that was fun and nutritious. But she just collected all the bad things. She got in the habit of collecting. Ooh, here's a reason why I can dislike that guy. Here's a reason why I can gossip about her. Here's a reason why I can complain about dinner. Maybe they'll give me a 5-cent discount. We really do have the opportunity to be collectors and just build a bigger pile of crap. Or we can just experience the moment and really appreciate, the ham might be a little dry. Or the turkey a little, whatever. But you know what? I'm here with family. How cool is that? We're all here together again. Because it might not happen next time. But it can happen this time.
Thanks, 20. Well, another thing, something that can happen during the holidays also is us getting what we want. And this actually is something that I kind of noticed last night. I'll give you a bit of backstory. I've been in this relationship for almost 10 months now. You met him a while back. And he's really sweet and loving, and there are some things that I feel are not necessarily what I want for a lifetime. Just some incompatibilities, nothing bad or wrong. But I'm always feeling like I have to make a decision because it's been this much time and I'm this age. And so if I'm going to be in this, I have to decide. And if I'm going to leave, I have to decide soon. I can't keep wasting so much time. But like last night we were talking and we were just,
You've danced this dance before, right?
Well, yeah. And you've known me for a couple years now. And so this is nothing new to you. So,
You can dance a different dance. So what we do is we get really good at dancing the same old dance. And what we really want to do is dance a new dance. It may or may not be him. But we get to go through, do I want to run him through the same process I ran the last guy through? Do I want to run me through the same process I ran me through? Oh my God, no. So we get to discover, who were you 10 months ago and who was he 10 months ago? And how are you guys helping each other ratchet up a little bit? And when I say ratchet up, I don't mean be better, but every day you're going to help each other be a little different and a little different and a little different. So you get to notice, you know, we might not be 100% this, and that's fine, because if you're 100% this, nobody moves. But if you're a little here and he's a little there and you're a little here and he's a little there, over time you notice how couples tend to start looking like each other. There were some really cool studies about mirror neurons that show that literally when people are in a long-term relationship, they start to look like each other, and it's because of the mirror neurons. Now what a lot of people don't know about mirror neurons is they only fire when there's perceived risk. So if or excitement, adrenaline, right? So if I'm just here and I do this, you're not going to have a mirror neuron activate. But if I do that, there's a part of your body that goes, yeah, because now we've got that going on. So there's I'm moving in a way that's risky. That pumps up adrenaline, and your body will do that. That's why we watch horror flicks and not documentaries usually. Right? Or let's say political speeches, right? Political speech is boring, no mirror neurons. But if you watch an exciting documentary or a horror flick or a love story, I don't watch horror flicks, by the way, or a love story, you can just watch the guys risking something. Oh, is he going to ask her or not? Are they going to make it or not? And your body's going, ooh, ooh, ooh. This is what happens as a couple. So when I say we ratchet each other up, we can keep taking each other to new places. How cool is that? But it's also literal. Because every time he takes a risk with you, flirting with what's possible for you two as a couple, and you flirt with what's possible for you two as a couple, and he flirts with what's possible with you two as a couple, every time there's a little bit of flirting going on, reaching towards what's possible, you both change. How cool is that? And you can start clocking that. So you never make the decision, do I want to be with this guy for the rest of my life? That would imply this guy doesn't change. But you get to notice, how do we change each other? Every day you are. Every day you are. Every day you are. And that's what's cool. So you get to notice, how are we evolving each other? Ooh, there's a good dance.
I'm writing that down. Yeah, well, that's one of the benefits. I mean, when we started dating, I know, like, we trigger each other a lot. But we wanted to, we decided to go into it kind of to help each other with those triggers. And consequently, we've really grown a lot in the last 10 months. But what I was noticing last night when we were just being present in the moment and it was really happy and deeply connected is I started getting tears in my eyes and he asked me, he was like, what's wrong? And I realized that I had what I wanted in that moment, And it was really scary because I'm already thinking about when I lose it or when it changes.
Ain't that the pattern? We've been raised with this, haven't we? When's you get a good toy and it breaks. I got a ball glove. I was never big on playing ball, but we got to find that out. So my dad bought me a ball glove, and Jimmy Leisure stole it. And I remember when I couldn't find it. It's like, where's my ball glove? And one day I see Jimmy, and on his bike is my ball glove. And he took big ink pen and he wrote his name on it. And I thought, dude, yeah, that's mine. And even when I got it back, it was never really mine again. And that gave me the opportunity to develop a pattern of people are going to take your stuff. Even if you get it back, it's not the same. And I got to live with that for a number of years, which is really cool. But it's just a pattern. We get to notice, yeah, you know what? You're not going to have that moment ever again. But what if you had one that was deeper? And what if you had one that was a little more shallow? What if you had one that was deeper? We really get to notice. I've never made the same amount of money since I've been self-employed any 2 days in a row. Most people go to work and they make the same amount of money every day, 8 hours times $12 an hour or whatever. They make $96 per day, right? And they know, dun, dun, dun. I don't know what I'm making any day. I might make a lot of money. I might make no monies. But every day is different. And it's an interesting thing because I think a lot of people resist entrepreneurialism because they want the same, the same, the same. Because our culture says we want to keep things the same. You know, same is good. Versus, what am I going to get today? You know, do Victoria and I really mesh today? Or are we both lost in our heads today? We'll find out. And if we're both lost, which one of us gets to get unlost first and invite the other back to reality? How cool is that? So we get to play all these different little things and notice, yeah, you know what? You'll never get that moment again, but you might get a deeper one or a shallower one or the same moment, but with vanilla added in. I don't even know what that means, but there's always novelty in this universe that we live in with all the variety that's available to us. You two can have novel moments for the rest of your life if you're looking for novelty, which is cool, which is a whole other skill set to explore. But gosh, the stories will sneak in if we let them. And when they show up, let them show up and just recognize them for what they are. It's just a story. How cool is this? I can love me even though I still have, he's going to die someday. Oh, crazy. But that's what we are. We are humanity and divinity all wrapped up into one. We're going to experience craziness here on Earth. So when it shows up, just go, yep, crazy. Yeah, tick the box. Yeah, Leo, let it ripple through and keep going. Yeah, come back to the puppy.
Hey, you've been listening to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Happy holidays to you. Coming up in just a few minutes here on CITR is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Horrific, so stick around for that. Have a great day.
Well, and that's, like you said, the holidays are just a subset of our life, and that's how we treat, rather than just being present in the moment and saying, I'm going to be at peace with whatever happens, like you said earlier, and we can enjoy. I mean, the crazy Aunt Betty could actually be quite entertaining if we just kind of sat back and observe.
So my ex-wife had a crazy Aunt Betty, right? and so we go to, this is like 20 years ago, and we go to crazy Aunt Betty's house, and crazy Aunt Betty does what crazy Aunt Betty does. And I just looked at her, right? I just thought, you know what? That's all BS and you know it. There was no judgment, but it was just no judgment on her. But it was the same BS story. And crazy Aunt Betty and I experienced one of those miracle moments because she stopped running it because she realized it was BS. And we both sat there and laughed for about 15 minutes because she bought into it. Oh my God, this is real. This is my tragedy. And I'm going, I've heard this 10,000, every time we visit, it's the same thing, right? And I was just going, no, that's bullshit. So beep. Might have to beep that out. But no, that's BS. And that was it. She lost it, and we had the most lovely intimate connection. We both giggled for like 15 minutes. It was lovely. And we all have that invitation.
Thank you for that. Yeah, if you are listening on the radio, I do have to apologize. It's a community station, so there's not so many rules, but if anyone's driving with their kids in the car, sorry about that. But
sorry.
Yeah. Well, there are rules, but they're not as strict. That's okay. It happens. That word that you said, it happens.
Yep.
Where were we? Yeah, we were talking about how it can be entertaining, and how when you're present in the moment to react to things as they are, not based on the meanings and the stories you're telling yourself in your head.
You bet.
Life is so much easier. And I think that we get so tied up in what it means. Like that, my story for the holidays until last year was, I have no family. I'm alone. I don't belong anywhere, which is my story in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. I don't fit in. No matter where I am, whether I have plans for the holidays or not, it's sad because I don't belong. And so last year I was kind of like, well, this is just like, this is a story I'm telling myself. Yep, Christmas is just Christmas. I mean, I go for Chinese food with my Jewish friend on Christmas Eve, because that's the Jewish nice. Christmas, what they do. And they're not all sitting there going, all these Christians are having fun and we're eating Chinese food. You know, it's just a story that I was telling myself.
So I've got homework for you. Can I give you homework?
Okay, yeah, I love it.
So every day we go to the dog park, and there's a small group of us that walk around. We call ourselves the Dog Park Mafia, or the Circle of Trust. And so we walk around and we talk and solve the world's problems. And one of the things that I do is I notice that human beings, we are story generating machines. We are always making up stories about things, and then we forget that we made up a story, right? So I make up the most outrageous stories. Like somebody new comes to the dog park and I go, huh, they're an agent. Like, what are you talking about? And I say, you've seen The Matrix, right? It's one of them. You know, or, you know, yep, that's a G-man, right? They're here to watch us, right? So, and the thing is, if you can make up the craziest stories, right? The lady in front of you in the shopping mall who's paying with pennies. Why is she paying with pennies? Oh, because she's a multi-zillionaire, and each one of those pennies is actually a collectible coin worth $10,000. Ooh, maybe I'll get some of them whenever I roll up, right? Make up crazy stories. They're all crazy anyway. We forsake this thing called the opportunity to connect with another human being because we go, oh, she's a redhead. You know how redheads are. I don't know. Yeah, and we get lost in this crazy crap versus going, oh, that's Marie. I get to connect with you. Or I could have a story about redheads. Yeah, you know, we have this opportunity to be present. And I think one of the most lovely ways we can do that is whenever we go into story time, which we will naturally do as human beings, make up outrageous stories. So, you know, there's absolutely no way they're true. So when Steve comes to the dog park, I go, yep, he's an agent. It's just a friendly reminder to me to notice I make up stories about everyone and everything all the time. We all do. But if you allow yourself to notice all stories that you make up are crazy, they may or may not be accurate, they may or may not be useful. But if you do the crazy story exercise, it'll just give you that friendly reminder, because you'll bump into the agents. You know, and you'll go, yep, got it. You know, all day long I'm making up stories. So let's just make up some crazy ones. Notice I'm not saying make up good ones. Okay, you can make up a good story about Christmas, but is it true? Who knows? It may or may not be. Because your bad story about Christmas may be true or may not be true. But it doesn't matter. What matters is, what are you doing this Christmas? And to get to the point of, what am I doing this Christmas? What am I doing in this relationship? We get to this, just notice, yeah, I make up stories about relationships. What if all men really were from Mars? and you look for evidence. So you could be looking for evidence to break up with your boyfriend, or evidence to stay with your boyfriend, or you could spend your day looking at him going, yep, he really is from Mars. He's got webbed toes. And just as your friendly reminder of, I'm making up a whole bunch of crap. I always do. That's what we do as humans. Since I love myself, I'm okay with noticing that I make up crap. Let's make some really funny crap up this time. Do that during the holidays. Do it for the rest of your life, and you'll just notice, yeah, yeah, it's a lot funner than I've made it out to be.
That's so funny. It reminds me, I mean, the whole story that we tell ourselves at Christmas, or we tell kids, that a fat man in a red suit with flying reindeer come and squeeze down into your chimney and break into your house. Yes. I mean, it's all what we tell ourselves. So
you bet. We really are magical. You know, we've got at least two minds from what I can tell. We've got the rational mind, which has a job. It rations. And it's not good or bad. It's great for the balancing the checkbook. It's great for getting from point A to point Z. That's what the rational mind does. So if you were where you are and you wanted to drive to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania and get a Permani Brothers sandwich because they put the French fries on it and all this crazy stuff, you could get there using your rational mind. But you're not going to get there unless your magical mind makes you fall in love with, I could go there and get a sandwich. And while I'm at Pittsburgh, I could stop and smoke cigars at Bloom's on the south side. And while I'm in Pittsburgh, I could go to Kennywood. Okay, it's closed. I'll break in. But you get to, it's the magical mind that actually creates movement. It's the rational mind that gets us there. Yeah, rational got us on the call today. Rational got me to check the email and click the link. That's what rational does. But the magic of the call is I get to talk to Marie. Ooh, cool. I'll put up my little white sheet. I'll check my lighting. How cool is this? But it's the magic of the call. That's why we're here. And in our culture, rational wants to rule magical. Rational thinks it's superior to magical, and magical doesn't care. Magical just wants to put a Christmas tree behind you. Rational wants to get it just right. Magical just is, hey, there's a tree growing out of Marie's head. How cool is that? Whoa, now it's still there. It's growing out of your shoulder. So how cool is that? So we get to live with both of these minds, the rational and the magical, and just let them both do their jobs, which is way cool.
Awesome. Well, we are just about out of time. We have been speaking with Mr. 2020 from freeneville.com. If you want to learn more about Neville Goddard, manifesting, all the stories that we tell each other in our heads, being at peace, anything that we talked about on the show today, or really anything. I mean, you get into all sorts of different topics. Go to freeneville.com. You can sign up and get his daily emails. And there's always some little tidbit of information to share. And I'm wondering... Oh, there's Emmett.
There's Emmett. Hey, buddy.
Are we going to get to see him?
Nah, he's going to go deal with somebody.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. 2020, is there anything that you want to add before we wrap up the show today?
Sure. You know, whenever you stop defending who you've been, you get to discover who you are. So... we really, as a culture, have been taught to defend who I've been, how I've been wronged, how I've been right.
He's fierce.
So, oh, he's a trip. So we've been taught to defend our history instead of living our mystery. And so anytime we get the opportunity, drop who you've been, drop your story about Marie, and discover who Marie gets to be in this moment, with her guy, with her Christmas tree, with her perfectionistic, with her abandoning the perfectionistic. Explore that. We don't have to be our history. We do get to be our mystery. We don't have to defend who we've been. We get to discover who we get to be and who we are right now. So let's end there. That's pretty good.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, Mr. 2020. And thank you for listening. This has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. If you're listening on the radio,